Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. O Lord, God in heaven, thou alone art worthy of praise and thanks and glory. And we have gathered ourselves together into this place of worship, to worship thee, to pray and to open thy precious word, that thou would guide us, that our minds and hearts would be trained by the time of meditation that we spend and the work of thy Holy Spirit as we invite thee into our midst and ask thee to be in our presence, to teach and to guide us. As we have even sung, there could be no greater gain than to be thine, O Lord. Help us to seek those precious and perfect gifts that come from above. And we would look to thee to provide all that we are needing. Through the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen. The Lord's help, let us turn and read together from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8.
Svetuje Evangelie po Mateju, glava 8.
Perhaps we can start reading the first 17 verses. Matthew chapter 8, the first 17 verses. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, Go, and he goeth. And to another, Come, and he cometh. And to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid down and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. And when even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Read to the 17th verse. May the Lord.
Our Father in heaven, we come before thee this evening, so thankful, Lord, that we can be here. Thankful to have thy word before us. Thankful to have these quiet moments together where we together as a body of believers, Lord, can be united around thy word, to hear thy word, to hear thy spirit speak to us, to see thy spirit work through our brother, Lord, and to have this blessing of fellowship, Lord, in thee and in thy spirit. And so we just give thee the praise for moments that we have such as this, to glorify thy name and to lift thee up and to edify the believer and to call home those who know thee not. And so, Father, we just pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bless this our evening together. Thankful, Lord, for this portion of scripture that we have read together. Thankful that as Jesus has come here upon this earth and has spoken that Sermon on the Mount, and then now to have these miracles of healing, Lord, performed, Father, we see that he has healed those who had infirmities. And Father, we thank thee, Lord, that Jesus Christ has ultimately come to heal us of the greatest infirmity that we have, and that is our sin. And we give thee thanks, O Father, that on Calvary's hill, the price was paid, and we have been healed, Lord, of our infirmities, our infirmity of sin. And now we walk in newness of life, and we have thee, Lord, to comfort us, to guide us, to give us peace, to give us direction, Lord, that we might be thy sons and that we might be thy daughters. Father, a name that is highly regarded to be thy sons and thy daughters. And so, Father, we just pray, O God, that thou wouldst help us to walk worthy of this vocation wherewith we have been called, to do, Lord, what thou wouldst have us to do, to employ our members, Lord, to thy use and to glorify thy name. Lord, that we would speak with our mouths, Lord, of the great things that thou hast done for us, that we would behold with our eyes thy word, and that, Lord, we would with our ears hear what thy message for us would be, and that we with our hands, O Father, would work to glorify thy name. And so we just pray in every way, Lord, that we individually, Lord, and as a body, Lord, might glorify thy name and live for thee and be a light and salt to this earth, Father, that men may see that and that they might be drawn to thee and that we would speak truth and that they would see that there is yet truth in this earth when there's so much deceit out there. And so, Father, we just pray, help us one and all. Bless us. Lord, we pray for those who are not able to be here. We pray a blessing upon them, each and every one. We also would pray, Father, a blessing upon our elderly, Lord, those whose bodies are too frail to be able to come to church. Father, we just pray and would lift them up, Lord, that thou wouldst bless them with the presence of thy Holy Spirit, and that they would remember that we are lifting them up in prayer so often. And so, Father, we would also pray, Lord, for those that know thee not, Lord, that they would feel thy love and feel thy great care that thou dost have for them, and how thou dost desire that they would spend eternity with thee. And so we just pray, Lord, that thou wouldst touch their hearts likewise. Be thou with us, Father, we need thee. Keep us from evil. Keep us, Lord, in thy love. And may thy love, Lord, work in our hearts, Lord, that we would love thee in return, and that we would love each other, and that we would love those whom thou hast placed in our lives. Lord, we just thank thee, glorify thee for all things, and pray these few things in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
As Brother John mentioned in the prayer, the reading that we've looked at together from chapter 8 follows the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus taught. And these miracles of healing follow immediately after the teaching. And the crowds that heard Jesus teach recognized that he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And Jesus' teaching does have power, it does have authority, and I believe that these accounts that are following after give testimony and confirm that authority through means that people could see, they could touch and experience, and with the Lord's help and your prayers, it is upon that theme that I'd like to speak on, of the authority that Jesus had and he demonstrated in these experiences that touched the lives of these people in a very profound way. And the authority of Jesus Christ should also, we should have some takeaways that we go home with that should impact us in a profound way. Thankfulness and service among them, and an awe and a reverence for God and who he is and who Jesus Christ is. And so let's begin. We read of this time when he was in the mountain, he came down, and after the teaching is done, a leper came up to him and worshiped him. And we know that he came to him in faith. He believed that Jesus had the authority to heal him. He believed along with those that heard the message that Jesus was a teacher come from God. And he has one thing to say to the Lord. He did not interrupt him during the teaching, but he was discreet, but he was also direct. He came and it was noticed that this one came and said, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. For this man, for the ailment that was in his life, it's very clear that Jesus had the authority over nature and over the disease, over the sickness that this man had. And Jesus Christ does have that authority. He could make the waves stop when they were beating on the ship of the disciples. He could cast out demons with his word. He does have that authority. And when the man asks him, actually, he doesn't even ask him a question. He says, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." He's stating a truth. His words and the thoughts that he had as he approached Jesus were becoming aligned with what was real, what was true in Jesus Christ. He had the authority. And this man is accepting and believing that truth. And he's confessing it with his mouth. And Jesus responds, "I will." We might say to somebody, "I will pray for you. I will intercede for you." We remember the account of the apostles when they healed the man that was lame and begging at the temple. And people were amazed at the healing that took place. And they said, "Why are you looking on us as if by our own power we had made this man whole?" No, Jesus is claiming that authority. And he says, "I will." Not only does he have that power and that authority over the ailments, over the sicknesses, but he also expresses he has a willingness to be a healer, to show compassion, to help in our time of need and in the time of need of this man that approached him. And this man, he didn't come begging or pleading. He didn't come commanding or forcing. But he leaves everything in the Lord's hand. How will he take care of this? If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus promptly replies, I will, be thou clean. It seems so simple. And you might ask yourself, is it that easy just to say these words and we receive the things that we ask? Well, Jesus is not just looking for the words. He is looking to our hearts. And if the underlying faith and conviction and firm belief in these words is there, then yes. Yes, it is that easy. If you are found in a moment of temptation and you believe that the Lord is able to deliver you and you plead with him and ask for him for deliverance, and you acknowledge that it's not his will for you to go into sin, it is that easy. He will give you the strength to overcome. He will give you everything you need. He will be your help when no one else can be. But it's not just saying the words, but truly having the faith within our hearts, and to truly surrender to the Lord, whatever it is, just as this man had done. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. That our hearts would have that sort of surrender and giving everything over to the Lord when we make our requests to him. That puts the authority where it belongs. He has the control. He has the say. And isn't that how it should be? That we place the decisions in the hands of the one who is worthy of making them. And we don't resist the truth and the reality of the authority of the Lord. Jesus at other times in the scripture that we've read speaks just a word, and the servant of the centurion was healed. Yet this man, he didn't just receive a word. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. This wouldn't be done by any of the doctors of the day. They would become unclean by the law's standards. But Jesus Christ demonstrates his authority over the law. He did not become unclean. He is life and he is health. And there can be no sickness or disease in him. Death couldn't even have power over him. Though he gave his life, he was able to take it again. Jesus had authority over the law, and he was fulfilling the law. He did not come to destroy it, but to fulfill. He was not afraid of reaching out and touching the sick man. And we can understand the apprehension that somebody would have when they're approaching someone who is sick. We see it all the time. Nobody wants to get sick. But Jesus isn't afraid. You know, we might be afraid of the things that we struggle with. Is Jesus scared? Is he unsure of how to handle every burden and struggle that we face? No, he's not. He is, even as we heard on Sunday morning, he's greater than the storms that we face in our life. He's greater than the diseases and the sicknesses. And he can heal. Remember the story of Elisha when Naaman came for healing. Naaman came and Elisha sent the servant out to him. He didn't come that close. And sent him to Jordan. Jesus shows us not only his power and authority, but his willingness to reach out to us in love. We can't really wrap our minds around the fact that the Son of God took on flesh, was born in a manger, in a lowly family, suffered much worse than any of us. But we can imagine touching someone who is sick. And this gives us a picture of the Lord coming near and coming close. And he comes near to us. And even as was mentioned in the prayer, not only for the physical healing, but for the spiritual. You know, it's not the diseases. It's not the dirt under our fingernails that makes us unclean and unworthy before God. It's the sin that we harbor in our hearts. It's the unwillingness to yield to the Lord. It's the pride that puffs us up when we think about ourselves. These things are the things that Jesus cares about. He didn't care about, you know, touching the man. He wasn't worried about it. He was worried about the soul. And he's worried, not that he's worried as he's trembling, but his concern, rather, I should say it that way, his concern is for our souls. Our concern should be for our souls. And that we would come to him and we would plead for him to reach out to us to cleanse, to help, and to deliver us. The centurion said that he is not worthy that Jesus should come under his roof. And that's true. None of us are worthy. But he asks to be allowed into our lives. He stands at the door and knocks and wants to be a part of our experience. And he came down from the courts of glory to show us and to prove it to us. And the question comes back to our hearts. Do we believe? Do we believe the story of the gospel and what Jesus Christ has come to do? There is cleansing. And there is a willingness on the Lord's part to come. And we should also be bold to ask him that we could be close to him, that we would have that nearness as well. And he puts away that curse of the law through his cross, through the shedding of his blood, that we could be close to him, that we could be near and have that fellowship, that veil that was in the temple that separated those rooms, separated access from that Holy of Holies, that was torn down on the day of Christ's crucifixion. It was ripped from the top to the bottom. Jesus is stretching forth his hand. This is what it means. It's not for this physical needs alone. It's for what he cares about the most, and that being our souls. So we should wonder and admire the Lord, even as those who heard his teaching. When we think about the power that he has over this leprosy, his willingness to reach forth his hand, to touch this man. Then he tells the man, see thou tell no man. Now just picture for a moment somebody performing a healing today. It would probably be all over the news and publicized everywhere, almost instantaneously. But Jesus says, see thou tell no man. Why? And then he says, go thy way, show thyself to the priest. Jesus did not desire or reach for fame, for adoration of men, for these physical things. He didn't pursue vain glory, as the Bible says. And I believe that he wants us to recognize that, that despite the authority that he had, he sought no position and no title. Jesus had the power to make this man clean. I don't know of any priest in the Old Testament that had that power. So you might say Jesus is above the priests, as he is. But he says, go show thyself to the priest. He doesn't stretch his hand out to reach for the priest's title and his office and responsibility in this regard. Although he is our high priest, he is our intercessor, and far better than those that were of the law of Moses. But he shows us that he has power over that vain glory, over self-adoration. How much more we, who don't have that authority, should have that humbleness of heart, should also follow in Jesus' footsteps, not to seek the praise of men. But if anything is noticed, if anything is seen, it's to show the priests and offer the gift that Moses commanded. It's thankfulness that he is recommending to this man, to offer the gift of thanks for the healing. I think he encourages us to do the same, to consider the help and the benefit and blessing of the Lord in our lives, and to offer him our thanks. It just reminds me of the weather that we've been having. It seemed like it was spring, and then it seemed like it was summer. And last night, it just seemed like it was winter again. You know, when we received a blessing from the Lord, we're joyful, and we're often so eager to give thanks. But as time goes on, we get a little bit comfortable, and we get a little bit forgetful. And so in the time after the healing, Jesus is exhorting this man to go and give thanks. And we should also too, not to be forgetful, but to remember and to bring it to our minds daily, the goodness of the Lord, and to offer him our thanks. We see also that in these examples of healing, for Peter's mother-in-law. He touched her hand, the fever left her, she arose and ministered unto them. Those that were healed end up thanking and serving. This is a takeaway for us, that having learned and being reminded about Jesus and who he is, that we would also be thankful and serving him. I think the centurion seemed to understand that fairly well. He knew what it meant to be under authority, having people over him, and having soldiers under him. And he compared that to Christ. He figured that Jesus, in his authority and his His power, it was like this in his kingdom, that his servants obeyed him, the servants of nature. Now, how much more the servants in his kingdom to go when Jesus speaks, go, to come when he calls us to come, and to do what he asks us to do. The centurion recognized that Jesus was a master like this. And we, in our hearts, in our faith, should recognize that this truly is what the Lord is worthy, that we would be obedient to his call, to what he asks us to do. All these things were done for a reason. When the even was come, it says in verse 16, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirit with his word, and he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And it is a foreshadowing. All of these miracles are a foreshadowing of all of the works that Christ would do. He has fulfilled all in his death on the cross and his resurrection. Everything has been fulfilled. He calls us to believe, to receive, to be thankful, and to go our way, serving and obeying his word. May God bless his word. Amen.
By saying that the chapter here begins by saying that when he was come down from the multitude from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and so it was that they heard his teaching, they appreciated his teaching, they were astonished at his teaching, and as they came down then off the mountain, a great multitude followed him, and they were blessed because they got to behold those miracles that Jesus Christ did. They got to be witness to the cleansing of this leper. They got to be witness to this centurion who had great faith. And the Bible here records that when the centurion spoke and proclaimed his faith, that Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said unto them that followed. He said to this multitude that was with him, that heard his preaching, that saw the miracle of the cleansing of the leper, and now this centurion's faith, he says to these people, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And so it was a great blessing for this multitude to have heard the words of Jesus. It was a great blessing for this multitude to have witnessed these miracles that had happened and to have been witness to this fulfillment of prophecy. The prophecy was that Isaiah said, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. This is what Jesus Christ did for us. He took our infirmities and he bare our sicknesses. Peter's epistle says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Jesus came with great authority. Jesus came to take upon himself our infirmities. He fulfilled that. He came to take upon himself our sins that we might be made white, washed in his blood. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And so this multitude witnessed these great things that Jesus Christ did here upon this earth. Physically, they were witness to it. But we are witnesses of his great glory and of his grace to us. And we feel that he has taken upon himself our infirmities, our sins, and that he has cleansed us, just as he cleansed the leper. So may it be that we would then live for him. May it be then that we would glorify his name and lift him up while we are here upon this earth. May God bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.